House Bill 11-6, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the confidential nature of peer review activities of physicians.
House Bill 11-06 has had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Craddock.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the body. This bill is strictly cleanup legislation. Can you hear me, Eric? Thank you. I know you do. In 1998, this body came together and we looked at cleanup legislation on peer review for quality assurance within the physician statute. Within hospital statute, within the hospital setting, we have clear language that provides for quality assurance peer review committees and provides them with coverage and non-discoverability so that there can be blunt and honest and ongoing quality discussions to improve the health care of the hospital, of the providers that provide health care in our hospitals. And in 1998, we thought we had fixed the language to move that out into the clinic setting so that physicians could do peer review within their own clinic setting and not just within the hospital setting. And it became apparent this past summer, one of the larger clinics in the state felt that they weren't protected. So we went back to that statute, reviewed it, and that's what brings the legislation 11-06 to us. Again, this is just simply to expand the peer review statutes into the medical clinics, the medical foundation, and other practice groups so that physicians are protected, and it also clarifies the definition of the peer review activities. And I would remind the body that within this discussion, peer review discussions are protected, but the privacy does not go to the patient's medical records or patient care at the time the patient's being treated. So this is not a piece that the lawyers, I mean, I know that they're going to object, but that I would feel that they shouldn't. I would ask, I'm hoping they're going to just leave this be, because let me tell you why. Because we've had great success up till now. At the House Health and Human Services, we passed this out of committee 12-0. On the House floor, it passed 67-0. And in Senate Health, it was 7-0. So I'm hoping for that kind of vote on this floor today so we can all go home. So please resist any motions to amend and go ahead and pass the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks, Senator Whiting.
Well, Senator Craddock, I could tell you that your worst fears are being realized, but I won't. Actually, I support the bill. no, I think this is this really makes the previous law was really not well drafted in my mind, because it talks about the peer review committee. That's 36.442. And then it says relating to, it talks about proceedings relating to, and then it mentions a number of kinds of proceedings, which is really superfluous, because the very next section of the code, 36.443, very specifically defines peer review activities. So really this verbiage in the existing law is A, unnecessary, and B, perhaps inconsistent with the actual language of the next section, which very succinctly defines peer review activities. So I think the bill makes a lot of sense.
Further remarks? Senator Bolk.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Craddock, maybe the most scary thing is having a lawyer that's in favor of your bill. I do have a motion at the desk.
Motion.
Waive the reading, it's been distributed.
Does any member object to the waiving of the reading? Is there a second? Is there a second? It's been seconded. Discussion on the Bogue motion to amend.
Thank you, Madam President. May I have permission to speak to both the bill and the pending amendment?
That's granted.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I actually have very little problem with the purported reason for this bill. And the changes in the law that came about in 98, I did double check, came before I got back to the legislature, so I wasn't here when this was adopted the first time. I wouldn't want to be inconsistent. The concern I have, though, is very similar to the concerns that we heard aired on Senate Bill 121 about the potential for abuse. And without disparaging any of our medical practitioners or the peer review committees or even the history of this process within the state, there is the potential for abuse. Because if you look at the actual law as it stands in the code right now, it talks about the proceedings, records, reports, statements, minutes, or any other data whatsoever. Well, I can't think of anything that may be excluded by that language. So pretty much everything that may have anything to do with peer review, or could be argued to deal with peer review, or may hint, or may have bumped into peer review at some point in its life, is going to be privileged. And there's absolutely no safeguard in the code whatsoever that deals with the potential for some review at some point in a process that could deal with an ability to get those documents or those minutes or those records or whatever data whatsoever back into the forum to deal with a potential where it may have been abused. And if you look at my amendment, it's actually a cut and paste job and some semblances from a bill that we had in Senate Commerce Committee dealing with the insurance self-audit process. But essentially the safeguards are a couple that if the peer review committee or those involved with it decide to waive on their own the privilege, it can be waived. If it's been argued that it's been done for a fraudulent purpose, that a court can, in an in-camera, which means only the judge looks at the documents, nobody else sees these, that after the judge looks at the documents, he will make a determination, he or she, excuse me, I'm old school, he is gender neutral, after the judge makes a determination that the documents have either not been done for fraudulent purposes, then there will be no waiving of the privilege. There will be no release of those documents. But if the judge determines that there was an abuse of the privilege and that something was done for a fraudulent purpose, then the judge, in his or her discretion, will have the ability to release only those documents that may be pertinent and may have been done or may be attempted to have been hidden for the fraudulent purpose. The only other exception that I've put there at the bottom is, again, similar to what was in the insurance bill, and that also deals with if the records themselves have been provided or generated pursuant to other state law and given to a state agency, federal agency, that there can be no claim at some later point that those themselves are privileged simply because they also may deal with the peer review process. This does not do away with the peer review process. I encourage the peer review process. It does not do away with the privilege. It just simply puts in a very minor safeguard where a judge, in his or her discretion, after a review in camera, meaning again, in only the judge will see that, that there may be a possibility after argument that there was fraud involved, that they can be released after there's been a judicial termination that that has actually been the case. I don't want to gut the bill, I don't want to hurt the bill, but I think that there is a need for a safeguard to prevent the kind of abuse that may be possible in this, where peer review committees or clinics around the state or any other practitioners that are involved in this process may, in an attempt to hide things, stand and hide behind the gauze or the veil of the privilege and hide everything that they may be doing. This is a very minor safeguard, and I think it's very reasonable, and I would encourage you to pass the motion and then go on to pass the bill as amended.
Further remarks, Senator Whiting.
A question of the sponsor of the amendment.
State your question.
Senator Bogue, just in looking at the statute, and is your citation right? You're talking about
36426. Senator
Bogue. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate, I do believe there may have been a typo that the point one was left off of that. So with my second's permission, I would ask that that just be clarified. It was an unintentional typographical error. So.
Good. The clarification's noted. Senator Whiting, you have the floor.
Thank you, Senator Whiting, for catching that.
Senator Bogue, would you submit that in writing to the desk, the clarification? Senator Whiting, anything else? Senator Craddock.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate that I think it's very important to understand that the process of peer review is in fact a confidential conversation that provides physicians with the ability to have an open and honest conversation that they know is not discoverable. If in fact, even if a judge can make that determination, these conversations will terminate. And remind the body also that the malpractice discussion, if in fact there is one, you still have access to the medical records and you still have access to the treatment that was provided to the patient. There's nothing that excludes you from all the public records. This is the private conversation that assists the physicians in advancing healthcare in our country, because they can in fact share with each other things that they learned through the process that will in fact improve healthcare, and which is why we are today where we're at with healthcare in this country. Thank you. I would ask you to please resist the motion to amend and go on and pass the bill.
Further remarks, Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, although I seconded this amendment for purposes of discussion, I also urge you not to accept it. Frankly, we all know what it's like to be able to sit down and talk to someone in absolute confidence, trusting that what we say isn't going to be disclosed. I'm not at all convinced, and haven't been, that this isn't important in every medical situation, and that this amendment wouldn't be wise, even though it's on the books for certain of those situations. It is a learning experience. One needs to be able to talk freely, and one doctor needs to answer freely. And I think the fact that one doctor, whether it's in a clinic situation or a hospital situation, can say, I believe you made a mistake, and not have to swear to that in a courtroom, is important. Thank you.
Further remarks, Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, first of all, there was an oversight on thinking there was an error in the amendment. It is actually correct as it stands, so there's no need to change the amendment itself. But, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't want to get into the big debate about what is or shouldn't be privileged in South Dakota, but apparently that is going to be the fight now on this amendment. We in the United States, and certainly in South Dakota, have dealt with privileges on a very limited basis throughout our history. The attorney-client privilege, the clergy-parishioner privilege. Even those, as apparently important in our history as they may or may not have been to the people that generated them long ago, have over the years had exceptions to them created, either by court decision or by statute. And I would ask yourselves to think, what is it about the process where doctors talk to doctors that is so, public policy-wise, so important that we cannot allow for the in-camera review where a judge only sees these documents to determine whether or not they may have been done for a fraudulent purpose? What is so important within the medical community that makes these documents privileged and cannot be viewed by the public where there has actually been fraud and a judge has looked at them? I don't think that the medical community can hold itself above the rest of the world, certainly above the rest of the business community, where there's not been a historical privilege for doctors to talk to doctors, where there has been for a parishioner or a worshiper to talk to his or her clergy person. But I think that this is something that we really need to look at. It's not an erosion. It's a very simple safeguard, and I would ask your support of the motion, and then go ahead and support the bill as amended.
Further remarks on the Bogue motion. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. I would ask that you resist the motion. The analogy that I would make with 1106 is somewhat of an executive session for a school board. that school board, if they're talking about personnel or negotiations or any other types of sensitive issues, that should be a private conversation and not open to discovery. So I would hope that you'd resist Senator Bogue's motion and go on and pass the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks, Senator Whiting.
Madam President, members of the body, well, I would just remind the body that the bill, as without the amendment, really is just a restatement of the existing law. It really is indeed a clarification and a better drafting than the existing law. The Bogue amendment would be a substantive revision of the existing law. And I would urge you to resist the amendment.
Further remarks. The question before the Senate is the Senator Bogue motion to amend House Bill 1106. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
The motion fails. Further remarks on House Bill 1106. Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of House Bill 1106. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
APA?
Aye.
Bogue?
No.
Rose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Craddock?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHuig?
Aye.
Dennard?
Aye.
Dietrich Larry? Dietrich Elmer?
Aye.
Drake?
No.
Duxbury?
Aye.
Everest?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hagen?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
Hutmacher?
Aye.
Cleven?
Aye.
Ketzel?
Aye.
Koskin?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Putnam?
No.
Reedy?
Aye.
Staggers?
Aye.
Sutton? Simmons, Bitter,
aye.
Bitter, Valesky,
aye.
Whiting,
aye.
Dietrich Larry,
aye.
Everest, aye. Madam President, ayes 31, nays 4.
House Bill 1106 has received a majority vote of the members elect and is declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct. Okay.